my gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
I'm a delicious and fearsome animal. Aren't I? Aren't I, Lou? Welcome, welcome, welcome to Stronghold Radio. Coming to you at a sizzling 102 degrees Fahrenheit in from Central California, right outside the southern entrance to Sequoia National Park. I can see snow out our back window, and it's 102 degrees where I'm standing. We have two big fans pointed at our transmitter and our amplifier on FM 93.3, Vice Chairman Radio. We're not simulcasting right now. I don't get to simulcast on it. I get everybody's panties in a bunch when I talk, so we don't go local. But Thursdays we have the pastor on, and he goes, we do Practical Christianity, and we go over that. So I don't know if FM's going to stay up. It's looking pretty hot, Lou said. I'll have to check it on the break. I almost didn't make it in here. I laid down to take a nap. I literally got a box fan and held it over my face and fell asleep. doused myself in the shower and then laid down with a fan pointed, you know, arm's length from my face, holding it in the air. And I woke up about 5 minutes ago going, I got to do a show. We didn't do a show yesterday. We just don't seem to have the support that we thought we would have to stay on the air. So we're having to take time to do other things. We have to make money to survive. Right now, the internet bill, I think it's either due today or the next few days, and we only got, with Warland and Minuteman sending him money, we made about a third of what we need to get the bill paid. So it'll be good. and so we'll have to make sure that we do that. Now, we're not... Okay, I want to make sure we weren't on FM. So unless we see that ticker go up, we may only be doing a couple days this week again, because we need to make money to pay the bills. And if we don't have it coming in, we do that pitch in and we don't make much on it. In fact, the money that came in this month was mailed in. Thank you, care packages. We appreciate it. Those of you that sent money last month, great. Thank you. We paid last month's bills. We got this month's bills now. So we're going to be off and on. We're not going to be consistent because I got to be out trying to pay the bills. And I can tell you, with the heat like this, our electric bill is going to be huge, running the fans and everything. So that comes first, keeping the local FM thing running. I got to do that. So just a word of honesty there to people who haven't put their money where their mouth is, or if you're thinking about it and you haven't gotten around to it yet, go to DutchJones.info and make a donation there at the chip-in. Lou started a new one. Donations are low. I know. But maybe it means that the radio show doesn't need to be done. If you think it needs to be done, then show us. If not, that's fine. We'll have to put our efforts and time into other things, but that's what we're going to do. Since we weren't here yesterday, I didn't get to share with you the awesome weekend that we had, and that's what I'm going to do. And don't forget, today is Tuesday, and I've already called Mr. Steve Klein, the self-proclaimed irritant of the Islamic cult, will be with us at 6 p.m. Pacific time. He'll have his hour to talk about Code 20 and those things, the types of training that we have coming up and what we're going to do. Before I go into the training, I have an announcement. It was decided today that they're going to put about 9 acres up for sale on our little ranch facility here. We have over 20-some acres. And there's nine acres that include the house I live in, and 1, 2, 3, 4 trailers of varying sizes. I think they're all double wides. Also, and a chicken coop and garden and stuff like that. They're going to put it up for sale for $750,000, just because we need a transfusion. We need to get some money to get, like, the building that I'm in is falling apart, and we've got to get it working. The land that's being offered is between there's a stream behind it. There's no riverfront property, but it'd be great for farming. I think a campground should go in down there. If I won the lottery and had $750,000, I'd buy it from the church and put a campground in there. But what we'll do is, over the next few days, Stacey will take some pictures of it. We'll put the contact info up for the realtor that they've hired. I think it's Century 21. I think it's Diana Glass. I'm not sure. There's two Dianas over there. And what we'll do is we'll show it to you. And if someone's so moved, I think it would be great if we get a patriot to move in next door. But it's just showing you how dire things are. We're willing to give up a chunk of land, the legacy that was stewarded by this church, to try and save the rest of it. So things are seriously not good anywhere, and I understand that. So I told the pastor I'd put that out for you guys. Also, second thing, we are looking for, and I put this out there before, and we're looking for someone who could be a caretaker. There's a house that's going to be available here real soon. Someone's moving on, and we need someone to move in who, in exchange for their rent, 10 to 15 hours a week, do upkeep around here. Fix the electricity, help us with things like that. It can be a family. It can be a single man. It's a nice little, it's like a cabin almost. I love it. I think it's the highest structure we have on the property. And what the pastor is looking for is someone to come in that knows how to use a backhoe, knows how to do irrigating, knows how to do, basic fix-it stuff. But it's got to be somebody that has an income already, somebody who's retired, somebody who's on disability, somebody who's, got a trust fund, somebody, who's got a home business that can function from home. What are you doing, Luke? Are you being attacked by bugs? No. You look like you're looking for bugs. Go cool off. Go stick your head in the sink. You got time. Seriously, if it's too hot, go get the sink running cold and stick your head in it. The cold works in the shower still. It's ripping hot here. I'm soaking through my shirt already, and I'm just sitting here talking to you. So if you are a Christian, you're not afraid to call yourself a militia person, and you're a single or a family, and you're looking for a place, especially if you're in a city in California, because I know it's hard to get people to come to California, contact me. I will put you in touch with our pastor, and we'll start the process. I seem to be the guy that brings people in here. Not always a good thing, but I do get people to come in, and they're here for as long as the Lord desires them to be here, and then some of them move on. Some of them move on good terms, some of them move on bad terms, but that's just the way it is. But we definitely need the help, and we would love to have another family up here to train with us, to fellowship with us, and to just get the things done around the ranch that need to be done. So contact me and I'll let you know. Give me, send me a little synopsis on what you're looking for, and we can talk, and I'll let you know if it looks like we're going to mesh. I feel like I'm doing a courtship thing here, and that's what I'm doing. Let me take a drink of water. Do you feel better? Oh, your head's all wet. You okay? Mm-hmm. Are you crying, Lou, or is that just water? Hang on, I'm going to take a drink here. Fill it up and stick it in the freezer or fridge or something up here, okay? So I can get cold water in a little bit. We had a great turnout for the training that we did a build-up to. We had a great show Friday. Oh, man, that guy Randy Albert would not want to be in his shoes. Remember, if you want to know more about that, you can go to saveacab.blogspot.com, saveacab.blogspot.com. We'd like to have him on some more, just about corruption. But we got into the training cycle. Everything went beyond my expectations is the quality of it. We didn't get everything done that I wanted to, but that's okay. As a good trainer, you should always have more activities ready to go just in case you have to. You never know what the ability level is going to be, what people are going to be able to absorb, or what you may think is not a critical issue may become a critical issue and people need to spend some time on it. Thank you, Lewis. And so what we did is we met in the park. There were 23 of us. which may not sound very big to a lot of you groups out there that, you know, may have a couple hundred people in your militia. But the youngest was about 4 years old. The oldest were in their 80s. We only had one heat casualty, and that was dealt with appropriately. But that was people in their 80s taking a risk and standing up. And I appreciate that. And I thought what this lady did was admirable. She agreed to go out with one of the recon teams rather than stay under the tent in the shade and, you know, drink cool water. And she went out and she did the best job she could, and it was great, and it was no big deal. Plus, it gave us an opportunity to exercise some first aid and safety procedures. What we did is we had everybody meet. We had them set up camps. Some people went all out and set up tents. Some people brought RVs and slept in them. But the whole point of the exercise was a shakedown to see what people would be able to do, what things we need to work on, because you never know what your militia is going to be called to do. Now, of course, let me say up front, this was a community emergency response team training. We're integrating that into our militia. We have people that are not in our militia that can do the CERT stuff. You know, and that's why I like it. It's more inclusive than the militia. You know, big, fat, broken down guys like me can't do a whole lot with the militia. I help train them. But the reality is I'm not going to be doing half the things with them that they need to do. But with this CERT thing, there's something for everybody. And a lot of the things can be applied and carried over into the militia model and vice versa. What I did is I gave them a scenario, if you remember, that there were major forest fires and we were trapped in here. And we had to deal with tourists. We had to deal with reconnoitering assets. We sent teams out wearing their green helmets and their vests and their backpacks and their notebooks to the hardware stores, the grocery stores, even to a submarine sandwich shop, gas stations, to the electrical generating plant. We have our own electrical plant. And the reason I did that is we have a lot of people that come to this church that don't know anything about our community. So this type of training is really easy to get people over that hump of knowing what is in their surroundings. And then I gave them the idea, well, you need to go back to your own community and see what's in your surroundings and do a pre-planned windshield survey of everything around there. The weather wasn't bad. It was hot, but not too hot. The mosquitoes weren't as bad as I thought they would be in the evening. They were worse in the morning than I thought they would be. But we sent our teams out. People did good. I don't think anybody messed up, Lou. I can't think of anybody, you know, for the most part, everybody kept a proper bearing and professionalism. And when people saw them out, they were walking up to them and go, what are you doing? What's with the helmet? Do you work for the Park Service? Or some people thought you were a road crew at one time. Lou, is that what that was? Man, I'm getting so hot here. I got to take my glasses off. They're steaming up. Go put some cold water in that. I'm going to just pour it on my head, I think. We do not have air conditioning. We do not have a swamp cooler that functions in this building, and I am toast. Maybe we need to get up there and check it out. I just don't know what the bill would be if we ran that thing 24/7. But what was neat is everybody showed up with food, water, shelter. We had to fine-tune a few things. We split up teams. We rotated leadership. We figured out that we need better forms than come in the FEMA handbook. Jill, the pastor's wife, who kind of became, well, she was group leader for a while. She was the operations chief for a while, and then she was also, I think, on the teams, if not a team leader. People that didn't want to be leaders, I didn't force them to. That's not what you're there for. You're there to stretch the people that you think could do it, but to also the people that you know can't be a leader, find a spot for them. Excuse me, I'll take another drink. Oh, I'm drooling. Pour a little water down the front of my shirt to help help the evaporative process. It feels better now. Whew, Lou, are you breathing on me? Turn the other way. Your hot breath is annoying. Go check the temperature on that amp now on the back corner. Don't touch the circuitry. Just touch that back corner of the amp. Be careful. I don't want to see you get zapped. Is it still too hot to touch?
No.
Okay, good. You don't want to warp that circuit board. I've done it once already. It cost $79 for the little diode or whatever, transistor. I kind of stepped back. This was the first training thing that I wanted them to do stuff. I just wanted to be there for advice. And I picked good leaders, and then I had them pick backup leaders. The teams, we split up. The teams were pretty good. We didn't have any personality conflicts this time that I can think of. Twinkle Toes was there. So was Rocky. I don't know if they're both in the room or not. And their puppy. Their rescue beagle. What's their dog's name? We don't know their. I can't remember the dog's name. It's Rescue Beagle. We had Ruger along. He just got tied to a fence in the shade and wanted to jump on everybody. But other than that, it was fine. But we went through some pretty good things and made people think about what the needs of this community are going to be. And hopefully some people's expectations were stretched. The realities were tuned a little bit during the training. I didn't see anybody who didn't adapt well. There were some people who, you know, we have structures here, so they slept in the structures. That's fine. Some of us are going to have to sleep in tents. Some of us are going to be close enough we can go home. But the team building was the key. Watching each other. That's why I liked it when one team was looking out for the other team. We had two Bravo teams securing a property and doing a threat assessment of it. And I could hear them on the radio talking back and forth and asking people, you know, are you okay? Are you drinking water? Take breaks. You know, just backing each other up, supporting each other. It was good competition between the teams so they get their tasks done, but it was also keeping an eye on each other. Stacy's saying the dog's name is Hassan Chop. Oh, they're driving in the truck and they're having trouble typing. That's okay. But I encourage you guys, these things are easy to do. And if you want any help doing them, and nobody's done this, nobody's contacted me and said, hey, I want to get involved in some type of training in my area. I get a lot of lip service. Everybody comes here, they train with us, and they go, oh, we really like to do that. I go, okay. Contact me on the phone. I'll walk you through a thing. I'll send you some documents. Nobody ever does it. There's a lot of people that are all talk, and they want everybody else to put it together. Well, I'm pretty much a one-man show with the backup of a great wife and son that helped me, and Anthea was helping me. She was my sidekick for the entire drill. It doesn't take a lot to pull these things off. You have to have imagination. You have to have a sense of structure and management, and that's it. It's no different than playing a game in the backyard. Remember when you were kids? And you guys play all kinds of games, just that's the same thing. It just has more of a purpose to it, more of a goal to it. And next month's drill is going to be on shelter operations. Actually, what we're going to do with the structures we have here and the property we have here, who are we going to allow to come in? Are we going to somehow find another area to reroute people to? All these decisions need to be made. Are we going to have a line in the sand that says, okay, once we reach this many people, we stop. When the situation turns this bad, we bug out and abandon everybody. We have to go through those eventualities now, and that's the point of these. What am I looking at here? Annabella Giselle is the dog's name. Arabella. I don't have my glasses on. Arabella Giselle. Isn't that a supermodel? Isn't that some anorexic supermodel? It's a Cheagle puppy. A what? Chihuahua, Beagle, a Cheagle. Yeah. Wouldn't it be a Biwawa? Not a Biwawa, it'd be a Cheagle. Well, anyway. Boy, it's hot in here and it's getting sweaty. This show's going to be harder to do than I thought. I hope the sun goes down real fast. We got about 3 more hours of sunlight. And I'm sitting here in a T-shirt. I'm soaked through already. I should be doing that. We should have hooked up a wireless mic and I could have sat in the stream. Just lean my head against a rock. It'll reach from here to the stream, the wireless mic. Why didn't you think of that, my tech guy? Why didn't you set that up? You could sit up here and roast in the room, and I could be down there in the creek sitting there sipping some cream soda and just chilling while I do the radio show.
Did you take the soda out of the freezer?
No, I didn't take the soda out of the freezer. Mom, please take the soda out of the freezer. It's probably cool enough now, and don't drink it all. So there you go. Now, we had training the second day, folks. It was a 2-day event. Oh, wait. After the training, we because we're under fire watch here. It's funny. We've got flash flood alerts and fire watch in the same community. We couldn't have an open campfire, and nobody brought a 55-gallon drum or anything or, you know, a stove. So I got a $10 lantern that I got at Walmart, like a hurricane lantern. The old-style gas lantern, the kind of one you used to start a fire in Chicago with. You know, you knock it out, you get your cow to knock it over. And we put citronella oil in it, lit it, put it on a bucket, and everybody circled around it. And we just told stories. Pastor broke out his, was it a ukulele? I couldn't remember if it was a ukulele or a banjo. Ukulele, and we did Christian songs. We sang songs. People told stories. We talked about everything from Bigfoot to our favorite Star Trek episodes. We talked about economics to stressors on the economy, to survival scenarios, all that kind of stuff. And people had a great time. They just joked around. I think me, Rocky, and Roe were the last to go to bed, and that was at about 11:30. The most important thing people learned is don't pitch your tent or sleep in an RV with someone that you think may snore. In a survival situation, you're not going to get any sleep. We had one guy, poor Roe, he got into an RV with his uncle, couldn't stay there, came out, and I guess we had all sunk deeply into sleep, and we were all just sawing logs in the where we were had our tents pitched. Stacy and I were sleeping in the back of our one of our vehicles. Kids were in a tent. I learned that Rocky talks in his sleep. I'm not exactly sure what he was saying, but it had to do with truck driving stuff. Huh?
Big Red Rocky.
Big Red Rocky. And, yeah, so he couldn't sleep out there because we'd all already started snoring. We were fine. So he went and slept on some of the seats in the church. It was pretty funny. He laid across the pew. And it was just a blast. And the next day we got up, we had church, we had chow. We did a little bit on, we did a lot of bit actually, because it was Father's Day. We didn't want to hold everybody there for a really long time. We talked about dealing with the stresses of being in a disaster situation. First, we dealt with team dynamics, how to watch each other, looking for symptoms of stress. Now, you guys know all of these. Anyone that lives in with another person knows how these things work. You'll see people get stressed over economics or whatever, but the added pressure of having to pull sticky people out from under things, having to deal with refugees, having to deal with the security issues, zombies, whatever it is, it multiplies the stress. And so we talked about some of those things and how to choose your words and how to choose your actions and to make sure your team takes a lot of breaks. Don't rotate your team. If you got one team that's just kicking butt and taking names, don't overuse it. Let them come back. Set up a place for them to relax. If you have the utilities and stuff in the facility, set up a little break room where there's air conditioning, something for them to do, relax, a good place to sleep. Now, we were mostly sleeping in the park, but it got so hot we had to turn on the church air conditioning and do what we had to do to get people to cool down, and that's fine. As long as you have the resources, utilize them first for your team members and your rescuers. Now, preparing to go into it, you have to do some things to get yourself ready to see some pretty scary, disgusting things that may, and I don't want to say scar your mind. We discussed it. We decided the better word is put calluses on your mind. You want to get build up calluses on your mind so you can do these things. It doesn't mean you become uncaring. It doesn't mean you become a dark, vicious person because you make jokes about some of the weird stuff you saw. It's how the brain works. It's how your mind works to deal with these things. So we talked about that for quite a bit of time, and I showed just a bunch of – a lot of people don't understand things. They've never seen a body when it's been in the water for 3 weeks. They've never seen a body after it's been confined space decomposition for a while under, you know, a collapsed building. Most people, thankfully, have never seen, and I didn't show any of these, but injured children, dead children, maggot-infested brains, people attacked with machetes. We showed a few people – we showed photos, results of person versus train, motorcyclist versus pavement. What else did we have? We had a picture of a guy who was struck by lightning in the rear end, blew the bottoms of his feet off, and scorched them as black as any hockey puck you've ever seen. And we showed him all that stuff. And nobody got sick this time. Now, I took out about two-thirds of the pictures. I just hit him with about a dozen pictures or so, wouldn't you say, Lou? Mm-hmm. And then Lou got the idea we should put in what's called a palate cleanser. We put in a picture of kitties and puppies so that people could look at that. And nobody asked me to go to it after the – because I showed it to him first. Said, when you start getting sick, just think of this puppy. When you start getting sick, think of these kittens. And nobody got up and left the room as far as I know. And if you did, that doesn't mean anything's wrong. I hate doing that part of the presentation. I hate doing that because some people, they never come back again because they're like, I don't want to see that. In reality – you're probably not going to see something that horrible, but we all do see a little blood cuts. Anybody that's got kids knows, you know, head trauma. Anybody that's got a kid knows, you know, some of the things they can bring in. And that's good, too, but we do what we got to do. But we got to maybe prepare people a little bit. Then the pastor gave an awesome presentation on how to, as a Christian, console the survivors. You know, an arm around them. Just listen. Find out what their belief system is and work with that. Don't be judgmental. If they're Catholics, they're Catholics. If they're Mormons, they're Mormons. If it's a mom grieving over a child, none of that matters as much as you would think. You want to just make sure that they come to terms with it, but you can't force them. You can't drag them. But there is a time when you have to pull them away from the victim's remains and let rescuers do what they have to do, and you have to let them know that the child, the husband, the parent has moved on. And he shared with us some instances, because whenever they fish somebody out of the river, he's on the list to get called. So he has to do that. And so it's good that he shared that with us. There were some questions asked. My favorite question of the whole, and God bless her, we got this lovely lady. She goes, well, what do you do in the case of spontaneous combustion? And I said, and some people were like, oh, that doesn't exist. Well, I personally think it does exist, but there is evidence for it, but there's no official thing. I said, it doesn't really matter what the cause of the fire was. We treat all burns the same, and if they're up and around, you treat them psychologically the same. And then the same person says, well, I do a lot with farm animals. It gives you an idea of the down-home folk we have in our group. She goes, well, if I had a horse that was suffering, I'd just put it down. Can we shoot people if they're suffering and they're not going to make it? I said, no, you can't. You can't put down a person because they're suffering. What you might want to do, I said, in my case, if I was on fire, I'd expect Lou to hand me the pistol and walk away. I wouldn't want him to have that emotional stress of capping his stepdad. Although he is kind of grinning now that I'm talking about it. What's wrong with you, boy? But that was the same lady asked the two best questions of the day. So we got through that. Let's see. Yeah, Rocky's reminding me, you never tell them, you know, how they should feel, how you feel. You never look at them and say, well, I got through this, you can get through this. I don't care if you lost 10 kids 50 years ago. Their grief is the only grief in the world at that moment. So you deal with that person at that time. You don't tell them everything's going to be okay. You don't tell them. There's a period of time when you say, well, if once you find out they have Christian or after certain afterlife beliefs, you say, well, they're with God, you know, something like that. And never say, I know exactly how you feel, because you don't. Everybody's grief is different. And honestly, if my kid got hit by a train or eaten by a giant gerbil that's been treated with radiation, and then some moron comes and says, oh, I know exactly how you feel, I'd say, no, when was your kid eaten by a giant gerbil treated with radiation? And they'd probably get punched in the face, and I'd tell them to shut up. Be there to listen, to hold them, to comfort them. You may have to hold, if you've got the resources, you may have to take them all the way through till the victim gets to the hospital and all that kind of stuff. I've been there several times when people passed over. I don't know if they went to heaven or they went to hell all the time, because you don't always get that chance to talk to them about their beliefs if it's, you know, the person's still alert when you get there. I've gone, you never know when you're going to be the last face that a person sees. So your goal is to be the kindest, understanding, gentlest, and be a tool of our Lord Jesus Christ. Be a handle. And that's just the way you can be a handle. Be a tool in the hands of God. Sorry, the heat's getting to me. And let them pass peaceably. Don't debate them. I usually say, do you know the Lord? Do you go to church? Are you a Christian? If they say no, I say, well, you're about to pass on. Is there anything that you want to talk about? And I leave it up to them. I did that with my mom, and she told me to go F myself and flip me off moments before she died. And I've had other people that they couldn't talk, but you could see their eyes. I had a guy whose jaw was ripped away, and he was dying, and there was nothing we could do. And I just stared there and held him in my arms and rocked him, you know, as best as I could. So we'll talk a little bit more about this when we come back. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. Beans and we caught the bloody British in the town of New Orleans. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. Wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Well, up down the river and we see the British come. When there must have been 100 of them beating on the drum. They stepped so high and they made the bugles ring. They stood inside of cotton bales and didn't say a thing. We fired our guns and the British kept a coming. It wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. Old Hick, we said we'd take them by surprise. If we didn't fire a musket till we looked them in the eye. We held our fire till we see the faces well. Then we opened up our shoulders and really gave them well. We fired our guns and the British kept coming. Wasn't as many as it was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run it down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles. Ran through the tussocks where a rabbit couldn't go. Ran so tight that the hounds couldn't catch them. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico. We fired our cannon till the barrel melted down. So we grabbed an alligator and we bought another round. We filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when we touched the powder off, the gator lost his mind. We
fired our guns and the British ship were coming. There wasn't as many as there was a while ago. We fired once more and they began to run. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, they ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles. Ran through the bushes where a rabbit couldn't go. Ran so fast that the hounds couldn't catch them. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
Crash does come when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest. The last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. It is sometime in June. What is it? June 21? Oh, boy. We better get that internet money in. We got to pay that internet bill before the 24th or they'll turn us off. Just a healthy reminder for you supporters of the Stronghold Radio. If we don't get about another 60... Okay, so we got 25, 31, another $54. We're not going to be able to pay our internet bill. So, just a warning. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. We're talking about the training we went through. Last thing I said, I want to make sure I reiterate that. You may be the last face a dying victim of a disaster, act of crime, a car crash, whatever may see. Keep that in mind when you do all of this training, whether you're doing it with us or somebody else. We get a lot of our folks in the church that listen to the replay of this. And we came up with a thing, if people ask us what we learned there, and they weren't there and they had an opportunity to be there, say you should have been there. Next time, show up. So that's all I can tell you. I'm sharing you an overview, but nothing I tell you on the radio is going to compare to actually being there, doing the paperwork, dealing with the issues, working as a team to get the information that I send you out to get, doing recon, all those kind of things. You're not going to get it on the radio. You have to do hands-on. The one thing that I want to do, but we didn't have enough time, is do hands-on counseling practice. Have some role-playing going on. Have people go through it. Maybe we'll do that. Excuse me. We'll do that next time.
Call from 559-308-5908.
I forgot I had the phone hooked up. That was really loud. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Dutch?
Well, you know what's going on. You can hear me, right?
Yeah. You got the phone hooked up?
Yeah, we had it hooked up. Go ahead. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, well, I just want to say what a great training we did have this weekend. I couldn't agree with you more. We learned a lot of things, and we all worked together real well. I didn't know that I talked in my sleep. Especially that with my wife right now. Where how'd you find that out?
You were both, yeah, I don't, she was probably asleep, and I was alert because somebody got up in the middle of the night, and I heard him walking, probably to go use a bush. And then I heard you talking about something about shifting gears, asking about a way station being open, and there was something else, some other just stuff. It was hilarious.
Oh, I was in my zombie mode. That's why I was wandering around. I'm glad you didn't hurt me with that machine. That's a nice weapon you got there.
Yeah, who's Big Red Rocky? Somebody kept saying something about Big Red Rocky. Is that your handle or something? Is that your CB handle, Big Red Rocky? Because we heard you say that a couple times.
Big Red Rocky, no. No, not at all. Oh, now before Steve gets on, I got a joke for you earlier today. It's clean and everything. It's good.
Okay.
This is for Steve when he gets on. Hopefully he hears it. Marie walks into a bar and tells the bartender, "Hey, I want to order a Bin Laden, please." And the bartender says, "Bin Laden? I never heard of that." "Oh, that's easy. It's just you give me two shots for two shots and a splash of water."
Two shots and a splash of water. There you go.
Yeah. Twinkle says that Bin Laden said, I got a kick of a campfire. She said he's a new Elvis now. he's a new Elvis. I want to get his face and Photoshop it online. You want Elvis pictures? Like Elvis' face on. Remember his and his white suit with Bin Laden's face on it.
There you go.
I want to go on and tell the joke on that now. I saw your post too. It's an interesting subject. I seen that on July 15th they're going to I don't know what you're supposed to put up, but they're going to make it illegal for gold and silver to be traded.
Yeah, the problem is I don't know enough about how. I think that's the paper form of gold. I know that sounds stupid. Maybe some of the guys in the room, but there was a company called Phonex or something like that that put out a warning to its people saying that as of July 15th, we will no longer be allowed to trade in gold, that they're adjusting the Roosevelt Gold Act that you can't do over-the-counter gold sales anymore. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what that means. I researched it. It's not a hoax. But different people are saying, well, that doesn't mean you can't go buy gold. It means you can't invest in gold over-the-counter anymore because there's some law that says you have to take possession of the paper within 2 days and you can't sell it. It has to do with, I think, futures selling and exchanging of gold certificates. But don't quote me on this. But Rocky is right.
Right.
It did go out, and a couple of larger trading houses are telling their people that they will no longer deal in gold or silver because their interpretation by their lawyers is that it will be illegal to do over-the-counter gold and silver sales. Now, I contacted the pastor. He's more into this than I am, as you know, if you listened to last week's show. He knows a lot about gold and silver stuff. And he's going to call his guy today, because I worked with him today. We were out today doing brush clearing over on the river for a lady. And he's going to look into it. He's going to call his guy that he gets gold from. And we need to find out more about that. So I'm glad you brought that up. I forgot about that. So if anyone out there knows anything about that, the July 15th supposed moratorium on gold and silver over-the-counter trading. I don't know if that means I can't still go get a dime, which is funny because we were cleaning our house today. I found a silver dime, a 1965 silver dime, and we were just talking about it. We didn't even know we had it. It fell out of my recliner, and I was like, "Hey, what's the date on this, Lou?" Because I can't see anything that small anymore. He's like, 1965, it said. So it was silver, so we kept it. So I encourage you guys, if you haven't listened to that, what was that, Thursday the 16th, right, Lou? Go back into the archives, look up the Thursday the 16th, June the 16th, and listen to that show on gold and silver. It's important. And then if you find anything out about this.
It's definitely something that we need to look into and get the facts down straight on, because it sounds very synonymous with government, very ominous, too, that they're trying to it's really odd. I don't understand it either. I'm in your shoes on that.
I don't know anything about the stock market.
Yeah, it's like
if I did, I'd probably be rich.
You can't do anything without their permission. That's them for you. You know, they want to corner it and take everybody's gold away. They want to shove everybody in their fiat money system. That's what they want to do, as usual.
Okay, I found the article here, and I'm glad that since you mentioned it, we will talk about it. Stacy's the one that originally found it, but yeah, thanks for calling in. I'll talk about it, and talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks for calling in. Let's see if I can hang this up. And I like having it hooked in like that, because then you hear it say we're getting a call, and it announces the phone number out, which is funny. I didn't mean to announce your phone number out over the air. I got to change the phone. I don't know why it does that. And then it starts playing the music. Oh, now I went to click on the article. It's saying it's not there. Let's see if we can get it. So we can talk about that. A little bit back about the training before we get to this article. Some of the key things that we learn, and that's the reason we do these trainings, is that we have horrible communications up here. We couldn't communicate more than 2 miles away from our operations center with our FRS radios. It's just not practical. We need something that's a little more rangy. We're going to need to set up radio relay sites next time, and I think it's going to be very interesting in the next drill to see what we have to do. I see Freedom saying that the information was not 100% true. That's kind of how I'm feeling, but I don't know enough about it. Sometimes I get emails and I'm like, there's no way I can deal with this because it's beyond my pay grade. So I apologize for that. I'm trying to get the article to come up now, and it won't. So maybe it was pulled because it was some kind of hoax, but we had a link to it on our page. So did Stacy. It's kind of weird there. But anyway, oh, wait a minute. Here we go. No, it keeps saying that it's not there. Look, it's weird. It's got it up there. Such are the perils of internet reporting. So what we're going to have to do, waiting for that, I'm going to get back to our training, post-training analysis. We need to put together a team of three people. I'll probably be on it, and then a couple other people, hopefully ham radio operators that we'll need. Maybe we'll get some Code 20 folks involved in this. We've got to get our radio room together. If you're going to be a stronghold, if you're going to be mobile and you have a mobile one, you've got to have a core communication system. All this other stuff is just moot. If you're going to send teams out and not be able to communicate with them, you're ruining and risking everything. So communications is key. And if you're going to invest anything, invest in communications first. Okay, here we go. I found it. Now, this is from Zerohedge.com, and briefly, I'm just going to read the first part of it because the rest of it I don't understand. This is an email that came out from Forex.com to all of its members. Now, Forex.com, I went to that address, and I encourage you to, and it's a trading place. They teach you how to trade. I don't know the validity of it. I don't know if it's penny stocks. I don't know if it's junk stocks. I know nothing about that, but Forex does exist, and they are a company. We wanted to make you aware of some upcoming changes to Forex.com's product offering. As a result of the Dodd Frank Act, that's DOD/Frank, and yes, it is Barney Frank, enacted by U.S. Congress, a new regulation prohibiting U.S. residents from trading over-the-counter precious metals, including gold and silver, will go into effect on Friday, July 15, 2011. In conjunction with this new regulation, Forex.com must discontinue metals trading for all U.S. residents on Friday, July 15, 2011, at the close of trading at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. As a result, all open metals positions must be closed by July 15th at that time again. We encourage you to wind down your trading activity in these products over the next month in anticipation of the new rule, as any open XAU or XAG positions, I guess that means gold and silver, that remain open prior to July 15, 2011 at approximately 5 p.m. will be automatically liquidated. I don't know what that means. That means they'll just give you your money. We sincerely regret any inconvenience complying with the U.S. regulation may cause you. Should you have any questions, please feel free to contact our customer service team. And I've tried and I've gotten nothing back. This thing's dripping water. I got a soda bottle that's half full with ice and I'm rubbing it on the back of my head. It just started to melt. So far, we have only received this warning from Forex.com. We are waiting to see which other dealers inform their customers that trading gold and silver over the counter will soon be illegal. It appears that Forex.com's interpretation of the law stems primarily from Section 742A, parentheses A, of the Dodd-Frank Act, which prohibits any person, which again includes companies, from entering into or offering to enter into a transaction in any commodity with a person that is not an eligible contract participant. Hang on here. Anyway, I could read all of this, and it still wouldn't mean anything to us. The fact of it is, and then some of this, when I did the research, they said it was hidden in the medical bill. There was some stuff that they snuck into the medical bill, saying that they couldn't do it, couldn't trade. It's just weird. So I need people out there that are smarter than me to figure this one out and explain to me as an idiot, when it comes to stock things, what's going on. So people are saying that our audio keeps cutting out. I don't know if that's me leaning away or what, but I'm looking at it. It's awfully low, Lou. Why is it so low? Pay attention. Why did our audio get so low? It's not always been low. Lou's over here. It's always low. You always stink. Nobody can hear you. If people are complaining, pay attention, Lou. You should see stuff in there and act on it. Come on. Don't make me hit you with this bottle of ice. Oh, what the heck. He just liked it because he got hit with ice. Here, watch this. Ice water on your neck. How's that feel? Good stuff. Yeah, Lou is sleeping again. He was just staring at the screen, not paying attention. Hopefully that sounds better there. Also, because I don't have my glasses on, I had to back up to read it. So that probably had something to do with it. So thanks, Rocky, for pointing that out. I wasn't going to talk about it because, honestly, if I don't understand something, I don't want to share it. But since you brought it up, there you go. That's the way the show works. We're not going to not talk about it. Hey, what's going on here? My computer, it's not showing. That's weird. I don't think I'm connected. Oh, folks, let's see. We've got a couple minutes here. Let me move this. Move this over here. See what this has to say. I don't know. Oh, that's cool. So, folks, let's get off this gold and silver thing. Let's get back to the training thing there. No problem. I can do transitions. I'm pretty cool that way. I'm a professional. I can do that. Another thing that we discovered in the training is there are places that I may not have emphasized enough. We had one group of people that had their backpacks with them. They had first aid. They had granola. They had water. They had snacks. And they were complaining that they were hungry, thirsty, and that they were tired. And I said, well, take a break and eat a snack out of your pack and drink your water. And they're like, oh, well, we didn't know that was for us. We thought that was for our victims. And I'm like, no, your pack is for you. Some of the medical stuff you carry you can use on other people, but primarily your pack is for you. So I found a deficiency in my training there that I probably didn't clarify something. Always, 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 always make sure that you have more than enough to sustain yourself. Now, we freaked some people out when we set up our camp. I had enough food for a week. I treated this as a full-on bug out. Even though we live 300 yards from where the training facility is, we made a rule. We're not going home. We live off what we can grab in the 15 minutes in the morning when we load the vehicle. And you have to have these strict training attitudes to make it work for you. Now, you may say that's a little strict for me. Well, that's okay. You can come up with other stuff. You know, okay, we can only survive off what's in our house, and if we need something, we'll go back, but we'll learn from it. We'll write it down. But we've got to be strict when we stick to these things if you want your family to survive the real deal. So if you get out there and you find out you don't have the fuel for your cook stove, well, you better find somebody to trade with to get some, or you go to your secondary stove. You break out the wood-burning stove. You break out the chemical stove that you have the gels for. You get there and you find out you didn't bring any extra clothes. Here's what I did. I got there and I found that I didn't bring extra medicine. Now, I could be a real jerk and blame this on everybody else because I was so busy making sure everybody had their stuff. I packed my stuff last. I was in a hurry. We wanted to get there on time. No, I'm not going to do that. Fact of it is, I screwed up and I probably did something that would have made me less effective. I'm not going to die without my pills. You know, eventually I'm sure the diabetes would take over and I'd turn into a giant donut and eat everybody. But isn't that what diabetes does? You turn into a giant donut and eat everybody? But the fact of it is that I screwed up there. So I got to make sure that there are pills in my pack. We only had one can opener in our kit, too. That's something I need to go over. I want to make sure that everybody has a can opener in their kit. Because what we did is we just made ramen. Canned chicken. I fried up some canned chicken and mixed it in with ramen, and we ate it. We had lots of oatmeal. Anthea always had to have a snack, so we had oatmeal snacks. So I realized I need a lot of little things. I need to put crackers and peanut butter in there. I need to put bags of peanuts. I only had a bag of almonds for me. My food that we have that I grabbed was all bulk food. Now, what they had in their individual packs is up to them, but I have to advise them that, hey, you have to have snacks. Anthea, being 10, didn't have her own rescue pack. That's another thing you need to look at. How much do you want your kids to do? You know, basically I told her to stuff a sleeping bag, a helmet, and, you know, stuff like that in there and water, and that we'd have the rest, but the reality we didn't. We couldn't find the coffee pot. I still don't know what happened to the big blue coffee pot, Lou. You took it out of the Forerunner. Lou's just shrugging his sweaty shoulders going, I don't know, I don't drink coffee, what do I care? So we, you know, there are things that we put on the list. Then when we go to put the gear away, we got to make sure what we ate. One of the things we did is I looked at the expiration date. We found out our mashed potatoes that we had in our survival gear was due. So we're going to put it in the house and go get new stuff next week and put it in the survival stuff. We found a place where all the survival stuff goes in one spot. in our house. A nice little thing that we did, well, Stacy did it while Lou and I were out clearing brush. Came back, and 90% of the stuff has a home. Let's see, I'm trying to think of some of the other things that we discovered. We diversified. We set up a tent, put the kids in the tent. Somebody just drove by real fast. I see the dust cloud. That or somebody stomping their feet coming up the trail. And then what we did was Stacy and I slept in the back of her vehicle, and it was quite comfortable, to be honest with you. Now, the temperature was good at night. It got down to about 55, 60. So now we know that as long as we have like a pup tent and our main bug-out vehicle, we're going to do okay. We haven't tried to sleep in the RAV4, and it's funny because the 4Runner's back in the shop again, so we need vehicle prayers. They still can't figure out why it's losing power around 3,000 RPM. The fuel pump they put in may have gone bad again. But all you folks, you've got to stretch this stuff. It's just like exercising your body, exercising your gear and your skills. And you're not going to know what you need to replace until you get outside and break some of it. One of the blessings we had, I put the lantern, I told you about the really awesome lantern, on the roof rack on the 4Runner. And the next morning, I drove off with it there, and later I'm like, oh, I probably got a busted lantern on top of my roof rack. So at the end of the day, we went down there, it was fine. So I can't speak highly enough of those $10 lanterns that you get in the camping section. And they burn kerosene, or you could probably burn oil in them, all kinds of stuff. Some people say you don't burn gasoline in them. I've used gasoline, but I find that it just burns real fast. The kerosenes are a heavier oil. They don't evaporate, but you burn what you got to burn. We, like I said, did the citronella oil. Big old stinking flame there. We didn't use any of our electricity stuff, although some people did go into the kitchen to make popcorn in the microwave. I thought that was kind of funny. We made popcorn on our stove the old-fashioned way, Jiffy Pop. Wake up, Lou. We did a bunch of good testing. I mean, we're hardcore campers, though. I mean, we haven't camped as much as we did 2 years ago, you know, every weekend, 3 or 4 days, you know, 3 times a month, 4 times a month. But we knew what we had, and we knew what we needed to do to set stuff up. I saw a lot of people trying to set up tents that had the wrong poles. That's a common thing. We saw people bringing tents that had 4 sets of poles, and they had to check them out randomly. Fortunately, the guy who did that had done something very wisely. He pre-staged gear here 3 or 4 years ago. He went to our stash, he opened it up, and he got 2 other tents out that he needed, and he picked one and he set it up. That was good prior planning. He had a cot, sleeping bags, everything stashed in our stronghouse. Or what do we call that? The blockhouse. This is a stronghold with a blockhouse. And he was able to go in there and get the gear that he needed. We had several people show up with kids. And to me, a kid is anybody that can't be given a task and a job and not be supervised. And that depends on the kid. Sometimes a 15-year-old's a kid. Sometimes a 7-year-old can do what you need him to do without too much supervision. So, but there were kids that needed to be supervised by their parents. So something that we might want to do in the future is have a daycare. I know you're going, oh, that sounds socialist. Well, if you have family showing up with kids, what are you going to do? You don't want your mom going, the mom who's trained in search and rescue and cribbing and all that great stuff, to be taking her 4-year-old out if it's really dangerous. And you want her to know that everything's safe back at home. Now, the families can take turns and keep somebody at home, keep somebody there to watch the kids, or you might want to do something from the group and do it. My 10-year-old probably needs a little more supervision than others. My 15-year-old, I have no problem sending him with a good team leader. I don't worry about him. But that's just the way it goes. Each kid's going to be different. Maybe with adults, too. There may be some adults. I don't think we had any personality problems. We didn't have anybody being a jerk or stupid or anything this time. Those people decided to stay home. And that's good. That's just the way it works out. What we did do is we built a cadre, a structure. I told them, you're the special forces. I'm trying to motivate them, get them esprit de corps, get some team strength building up there, saying, you 23 people. With 23 trained people, I could run a shelter, honestly, of 300 to 500 victims. Is it connected? Okay, folks, we just dropped out again, but we are back. You're listening to Stronghold Radio. I'm Dutch Jones. It's coming up on the top of the hour. So you probably, if you're listening in an archive that is not done by Olimo, our great archivist, you missed it all. And that's okay. Ustream will drop out. It's our internet. I blame it on us being here with satellite in the heat and with just so many people doing it. Just be praying for our new internet. Be praying for us to get moved. If we could get moved into a house on the main strip with 24-hour access to internet, we really need your prayers. It's just as much as we need your monetary donations, 10 times more we need your prayers to get us to where we need to be. I mean, if that makes sense to you, please, please pray for us to get into a good location with air conditioning and the financial support that we need to maintain it. We just can't do it right now, and that's why we have dropouts. So we're getting ready to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to have Steve Klein on. I got to turn that down, in fact. And we will be right back after this.
We're living in a country that's the finest place on earth. But some folks don't appreciate this land that gave them birth. I hear that up in Washington they're having an awful buzz. Cause communists and spies are making monkeys out of us. The bureaus and departments have been busy night and day. They're figuring out just how we gave our secrets all away. And Congress has appointed a committee, so they said, to find out who's American and who's a low-down red. They call him up to Washington to speak for Uncle Sam. But when they ask them what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd shout so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way. I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own. Our government is bigger than it ever was today. The more they hire to work for it, the more they have to pay. Our public servants should be proud and honest, you would think. Instead of taking bribes and dressing up their wives and men. The taxes keep on going up, of that there is no doubt. But still they just can't take it in as fast as they dish it out. Our national debt is monster-sizing, growing every day. Our children's children still unborn are gonna have to pay. Our dollar used to be the soundest money on this earth. But now two bucks won't even buy one good dollar's worth. Unless we stop inflation and take care of what we've got, the communists may win the fight and never fire a shot. Oh, I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun? Guns are toys. A family protection, hunting dangerous and delicious animals, keeping the king of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
The best way to cool down.
Oh, for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, button. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I hope I didn't see anything embarrassing.
This is an emergency. Repeat, an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV station, the gas station, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Guess I talked over the commercials there because Lou didn't bring my mic down because he's suffering from heat casualty injury stuff. You're listening to Stronghold Radio coming to you from Sequoia National Park. That's right. Well, not from the park, but I can see it from here. We're surrounded by BLM, federal, and private property. And we come to you every day we can, when we can. And today is Tuesday, and it's 21st of June. Isn't today the longest day or something? Anyway, Tuesdays are special. They're special because we like to do a little thing we call AbolishIslam.com, code 20, where we bring on our friend and your favorite guy poking the stick in the eye of Islam, Steve Klein. Are you there, Steve?
That's what I like that, to poke a stick in the eye of Islam, two shots and a splash of water. We're there, dude. Things are going great, and excellent. Before we get going, I know like people like to talk personal things, so it's like 1 degree less than hell where you are right now. You do not have air conditioning, so go ahead and talk about that a little bit.
Oh, I was complaining enough in the first hour, but those just tuning in over Liberty Tree and Indiana Freedom Talk Radio, it's 102 degrees here. We're sitting in a room full of electronics. The humidity's high because we're by a river. And Lou and I are taking turns. We've got a soda bottle filled that we froze, and Lou has a chunk of cheese in his armpit that was frozen. I went to the freezer and got a chunk of cheddar cheese and stuck it in his armpit, and then we're sharing the Coke bottle to stay cool. That's guerrilla radio right there.
Well, that's guerrilla war radio right there. And so in October we have the training session, and I assume you're going to keep that piece of cheese and tell everybody how to use it and stick under your armpit.
Yeah, we might raffle it off as Lou's famous armpit cheese.
Well, that is funny. You guys are killing me, man. That is too funny.
Hey, it's working.
Well, yeah. Hey, with first aid and all that stuff, whatever works, you use it. Hey, absolutely. So that's a plug why all of you need to come to the October 1 training there at the beautiful Three Rivers area right outside the Giant Sequoia National Park. And it's only $100 total for a whole family. So if you got 17 kids and mom and dad, it's only a total of $100, and Dutch and Lou and Stacy, Pastor Warren, myself, my wife, and others will be there. We'd love to get to meet with you. It's going to be real informal. I hope a bunch of you bring your guitars and banjos.
Yeah.
Want to hear a lot of bluegrass, spontaneous bluegrass, Christian music. Just have a lot of fun and get to rub shoulders with the salt of the earth and to hell with the screwballs in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And the dirtbags who are out to destroy us. We're going to laugh and yuck it up and learn some good stuff like taking frozen cheese and stick it under your armpit to
cool
it down.
Cool your core,
5,000 degrees, absolutely.
Speaking of cheese, we have someone who called a volunteer from Southern California Martial Law Alerts, Kim. She's going to hold a class on how to make cheese with powdered milk. You know, so you take
That's
your survival
awesome.
Milk and make cheese and I think she said sour cream. I was just blown away. So she's going to be here and we'll have a classroom set up for her. And we put out a call. We need women to teach womanly things. So if you want, we'll help you out. We'll give you a room. There's no pay involved, but your reward will be in heaven. And your reward will be knowing that you're helping your sisters out. And a few brothers can take the class. That's fine. You want to learn how to make cheese out of powdered milk. I think it's a great idea for everybody to learn that one.
Yeah, cheese is my weakness. What's this gal's name?
Kim. I can't remember her last name, but she's from Southern California Martial Law Alerts. They're an information gathering group that I use a lot for gathering intel on the New World Order and stuff that Muslims are doing and things like that.
Cool. Outstanding. By the way, I've linked up forces with another group doing some great things. Our Code 20, our high school outreach is growing so big. What we're doing is we've actually had some folks contract with us, and we're going to do a documentary, so it'll be up and online. My show that you and I and Lou put together should be posted on the internet with the 60 different photographs. Yeah, the 60 different photographs, and then I'm talking and lecturing about all the Republicans, Democrats, Sheriff Baca, admitting that he worked with the terrorist group, CARE, and the Muslim Brotherhood. A lot of stuff's going to be posted on here in the next 60 days or less. And actually, what we're doing with the high school outreach, now we got Florida, Ohio, and Missouri, and they all want to kick it off the first week of the school semester in September. So this thing is growing in a real positive way. Plus, we already got the 8 counties in California. So Dutch Jones, Lou, Stacy, Pastor Warren, my wife, me, others are starting to join in. Kim with Marshall, Law Alert, Mike, my favorite hero up there that loves to go and harass the Muslims at the mosque. Nothing could be finer than harass a mosque with Steve Kleiner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we could, you know, when you're doing your class, you know, maybe you could set some dates. If they are serious in their communities, like you've said before, you'll help them do it. They come here, they train, they go back to their home states, because we do have people come from all over the country to this thing. And you could say, you know, we'll work it out. You want to be in Santa Barbara and you want to go to the mosque, set it up, work it out with Steve. And you just got back from Missouri a couple days ago, and, you know, you put your money where your mouth is. Or actually, you put your person where your mouth is. You show up. So that's another good thing we could get out of this training coming up.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, on my TV show this Thursday, we're actually going to show the last portion of Muslims shoving me around and stuff when I dial 911, so you can learn firsthand, and they're going to archive that so that if you ever get shoved around, you know, just real simple, as Dutch teaches, just keep your composure, take the phone, and dial 911 and get the guys out there to help you out. Now, if that was a different situation, it would have been completely different, but since I wasn't in charge, I was a guest, and I was in Missouri, then I went to Plan B, which was the call 911. But rest assured, we're going back to that mosque, and out of that also, we found at least 4 kids back from Afghanistan and Iraq, soldiers, and we were talking about the biblical principles that it's not your right to defend your wife and your families. It is your absolute duty, and if there you do go. Not, that is a sin. And I could just see the looks on these kids back from Afghanistan and Iraq. It was like, well, there's no guilt, there's no blood on our hands, the blood goes to Congress, we must defend our families. One kid was suffering from PTSD really, really bad, and he's on the mend now because, hey, we're supposed to go out there and whack these monsters from hell if they are going to assault our loved ones and murder and rape them. So it was an awesome outreach, and they... I'm hoping to bring Dutch back there with me in the next year or so,
too.
That'd be cool for the Missouri Watchman. I'm trying to get back out there in the next 45 days or so and repeat what we did last time and go to the mosque again. Absolutely.
Yeah. I would love to get out there and do some outreaches and stuff like that and just meet the good people around the country that are doing stuff. I'm amazed at how fast this stuff is growing, how aware people are coming. I mean, the mainstream media is, you know, they're pushing the Chrislam and everybody, you know, accepting everybody. But the reality of it is people aren't doing it. They're not swallowing this line of garbage. These mosques are here, and it's all about freedom of religion, and that we're a melting pot of religions. The majority of good, red-blooded, patriotic Americans know that's a bunch of bull.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's the message that I saw, and I see that growing rapidly with everything that's coming together. Jesus said, in the fullness of time, or the other one, Victor Hugo said, nothing is more powerful than an idea that has come of time. Islam is showing the truth of what it is. It's a hellhole theology based on Satan, Messiah, the Greek word for hate. Hate is the fulfillment of all Sharia. Dutch, I can tell you're doing really good, but you're about 2 degrees too hot because you're not your normal vivacious self. I can tell.
Oh yeah.
I can tell Lou is hugging that ice cold cheese under his armpit.
Sure,
I don't know what you're doing to stay cool.
Oh, I'm going to my happy place, and I'm just thinking. I'm imagining my fortress of solitude, me and Superman up there at the pole, and just sitting on a carved out of ice sofa. And well, we were out in it today. Me, Lou, and the pastor were clearing brush for people up here. That's what we do. We have a business. That's how we make our money. And we were, it was just unbearable. We said, oh, we're going to do 4 hours of this. In about 2.5 hours, we got it done. Not because we're anything special. We just couldn't stand to be in the heat anymore, so we just pushed through it. And sometimes you got to do that. You just got to push through and do what you got to do, regardless of how uncomfortable it is.
Yeah, Well, there's a project for all of you folks out there who've got teenage boys and you don't know what to do with them and you're tired of wasting your money on Disneyland and SeaWorld and nonsense like that. Why don't you contract with Dutch and Pastor, pay $100, spend a weekend up there and watch your boys, turn them into men, let them go up there to the Church of Korea and work in that stifling heat and become men, see what it's all about. Mom and Dad, you're there. So for $100, you get a weekend there. Bring your tent, and you got your hookups for water and stuff like that, right, Dutch?
Yeah, we'll open up for a couple showers. Actually, in October, it'll be bearable. It'll be in the 80s and 90s in October. But you made me think there. We need to do like a man camp up here before we even do the October training. You want to come up here?
That's a good idea. We'll
do some survival stuff up here. We'll get if you don't have the gear, we'll loan you gear. All of us have got two or three layers, and we'll get you up in the hills, hiking around, put a compass in your hand, make you start a fire with a flint, have you shoot a musket, have you shoot a what, Lou? Make you weed, Lou says. Yeah, we'll make it clear. No, we won't make it clear brush, but maybe you have to clear brush to set up a night observation post. But we could do stuff like that, too. You want to come up before that. I always hear these. There's an ad for a Christian man camp where they teach you to be polite and courteous and open doors, and that's definitely awesome. They make them shoot a bow and arrow a few times, and you know they make them sleep in a tent at this place called Lake Hume, which is it's a really nice little Christian compound on the other side of the park here. But we need a real man camp. We need someone to teach these guys, these young men, these teenagers in their 20s, how to use a pistol, how to take a baton away from somebody, you know, how to take a man down quietly, you know, in the dark of night when he's not supposed to be where he's not supposed to be. That's the real Christian man camp stuff that we could be doing up here. But people just need to show up. We do these trainings. We do these Code 20 trainings pretty much every month. And we can handle a lot more people than we have, Adam, right, Steve?
Oh, absolutely. I'm thinking the weekend of wherever it is around August 15th, we can send out emails, and next week we can talk, set up a date, talk to the pastor. But a bona fide man camp, and that would be like Friday night, all day Saturday, Sunday at church, and we'll do it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
All you get is like in a real war, you get a poncho and a canteen, and it'd be you and your son. Probably have to be over 12 years old, but dads and guardians and sons only, $100. You guys, you're on your own for food. We'll be there for the facility, and we'll show you 1.5 days what it's really like to be in warfare with just living off the land, a poncho. You're going to be hungry. You're going to be miserable. But, hey, you're going to grow a beard. You're going to grow a beard, and with your son, you're going to act like a man. What could be finer? Then harassing a Muslim in a mosque with Dutch and Kleiner.
Yeah.
What could be finer?
That'd be funny. Yeah, we could hit some of those places in Fresno and Visalia. There's so much we could do with this, guys. It's just a matter of, you know, you guys answering the clarion call and saying, yeah, I want to be part of that. I get a lot of lip service. Well, it's not really lip service. I get a lot of cyber service. People send me emails. I love what you guys are doing. I wish I could come. I need to do it here. Sacrifice a little. Come up for the weekend. We announce all of our trainings on the radio. We'll get 20, 40 people, you know, show up. That's great. We can handle more. We're building a second shooting range here at our facility so that we can do more. So like when we do the Code 20 trainings in the future, we've got, and honestly, we've got some people that need to spend more time on beginning pistol. But we have a handful of people that need to move on to intermediate pistol. So it's a waste to keep showing those people that are ready to move on, beginning pistol. We're building a second range with steel targets and a little more realistic terrain. Where it's not just known distances, it's not just, standing on the line and shooting a paper target. It's going to be different things. I don't want to give it away, but the pastor has made the commitment out of his own pocket to have this range built on his personal property, not church property, because the pastor lives on the other side of the river with his own little ranchette over there. So that's how dedicated we are to it. And we keep saying, we're not getting a lot of people, but we're going to keep building it so that they show up. You know, it's just like if you build it, they will come, just like the conference. If we hold it, people will show up, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Things are going good. As now in Dearborn, a bunch of my friends are back in Dearborn, heating up, going really good. But here's the good news. Because the Christians went in and got arrested last year, and properly in accordance with Acts, the book of Acts, where Paul twice was illegally arrested,
right,
but he demanded
he demanded due process.
Under
I think
Roman
it was
law.
Acts 22 and exactly Acts 22 and 26. This year, when the Christians went back, there was hundreds of cops aiding and abetting the Christians. I have several friends who were back there. Now, the Muslims were out of control for sure at a couple of times, but the cops, totally different than last year. The cops were actually giving some of the Christians rides to the hotel and things like that, protecting them. It went really good, so maybe next year I'm thinking that there'll be enough of the legal stuff in place that we might do something there also. But in any case, the stuff of Islam, people like Dutch said, are getting fed up with it. They're sick and tired of it. They're sick and tired of seeing girls being raped and murdered. They're sick and tired of all of the pedophilia and the homosexuality and the insanity of Islam. So a good thing to start on would be August 15th, the weekend, whenever that is. We'll get permission from, we always get permission, or we don't do it, from Pastor Warren Campbell. Probably the weekend of August the 15th, like a Friday night, Saturday, and a Sunday through church. Only a poncho, couple of canteens, $100 for you and as many. If you got five sons, $100. If you got one son, $100. Make it real simple.
Okay, I've got a calendar here. That's the 13th and 14th of August is Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, so we'll do it Friday night, the 13th, the 14th.
So that would be the 12th.
13th and 14th.
12th, 13th, and 14th of August. We'll do a big old happy camp over here at Camp Kahwea.
Yeah, we'll start it simple and easy. You know, the first night we're going to have some s'mores and campfires and the sissy stuff, and then we'll talk about what we're doing. And we can go out when it gets dark, and we can do a little star land navigation, how to find the North Star and land navigate at night. So if you get separated and lost, you can at least tell which way is north and get things set up as a compass for the daytime the next day, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day on Saturday, it'll be pistol, rifle, and shooting, shotguns, things like that. We'll do a bunch of different activities, and then when it gets night again, what we'll do is probably around 6 p.m. or so, those of who are physically fit will go up probably with that hill on top where I went wild boar hunting that one time.
Right.
That was that's about a 500-foot mountain.
Sure, yeah, because we're at 1,000 feet right here. Yeah, you're about right, yeah.
And that is a fanny kicking hill. I went up that thing carrying a 12 gauge and some other stuff. So what we'll do is we'll carry unloaded weapons up there, and then you can spend the night up above, and we'll assign like 4 to 10 people, men and sons, in a cluster together, and depending on how many people we have, a little guard duty, and talk about, you know, survival at night and trying to, you know, stay warm and things of that nature. That will be without a fire. So we'll be up there on our own. We'll have flashlights. We're going to do it manly because, believe me, in you get into real combat, you don't use flashlights.
Yeah, night and sound discipline.
One guy was asking me a couple of months ago, he says, how did you start your fires at night in Vietnam? And I looked at him like, we didn't have fires at night. He said, well, how'd you stay warm when it was a monsoon? I said, we got soaking wet. We did the best we could. He said, well, no, really. Yeah, huddled, exactly. We'd sleep 3-4 guys on a poncho and try to stay warm.
Right.
He says, well, how did you start your fires? I said, dude, if we started a fire, the Viet Cong and NVA would have killed us in seconds. No fires, no.
Yeah.
No, you go out, this is going to be combat discipline, and you can ask questions of Dutch and myself, and Dutch will probably run a crew in a different location, and I'll be in a different location, and but we'll be talking about land navigation and with using the stars and things of that nature. It'll be a lot of fun. $100, I mean.
And maybe we can round up some of these wounded warriors that we've got and combat veterans to seed the group, you know, just not to help run anything, because, you know, that's not the point, but you'll get to sit next to these folks, and you're going to hear some pretty amazing stories, especially if we...
Yeah, we got...
Joshua, if we get Joshua in here and some of his buddies, what they saw and what they're doing. These are current American servicemen serving or on injured reserve that we could bring in, and you could rub shoulders with them and ask them questions on what they do now. So we can get old and modern stuff.
Well, yeah, and that brings up a great point, because the training that we're doing, Josh Pearson is not a Christian, but he listens to our training, and he's learning that our Constitution and Declaration of Independence, Northwest Ordinance, are all based on Anglo-American common law, which is based on the Bible, and that young man cannot get enough. He loves that stuff.
Yeah, I'd say he's probably a deist, isn't he? He understands there is a higher power, and he's definitely got a seeking heart. I love being around that guy. I can't wait for him to come back up.
Yeah, he's not rejecting anything. He's absolutely not rejecting, and so that's the kind of stuff, if you've got a troubled teenage boy and you want to drag his young ASS up there, we'll work with him and talk to him, and we'll have no problems telling him, you know what, sport, the Lord Jesus Christ would kick your ass, and that's just the way it is, buddy.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah, and he wouldn't use a whip. He might just use his sandals. He's not going to sit down and make a whip. He's going to bounce you around.
I can see Jesus taking off his sandal and slapping some young punk in the face and saying, you will be respectful.
Sure, sure. Yeah, one of the things you're going to learn to do is how to use those little purification tablets everybody talks about, because one canteen won't cut it. You'll get up there, there's a stream up there, Mannequin Creek. I think I'm pronouncing it wrong. I think the Indian name is like Manakin. We call it Mannequin, like the doll in the store, but we'll use that creek water up there to survive off of. And those of you going, I can't do it, let me tell you something. 5 years ago, my then six-year-old daughter, right in there, we lived up there. We went up there, and we used water purification tablets. We built little fires. And now if she can do it, you and your son can do it. Because it's just
no problem.
And the pastor's been doing it since he was a kid up there. His kids have been doing it. Three generations of pastors have been training in this area, and all the families involved with it. And it's a huge opportunity, and it's right here. It's like an unpicked fruit. It's like ready for you to just enjoy and take part in. And yes, we do charge something, because there are costs involved, and we want to use the money to build up the church and make sure that people can keep spreading the word. So, but let me tell you something. You go around and you try to find training like this, it's going to be in the thousands of dollars. I've contacted all these little survival and escape and evasion classes. That one in Vegas was, what, $3,000 for a class?
Crazy.
Yeah, Lou and I wanted to do it, and we're like, I mean, we bring in $900 a month. $3,000 for a class in Vegas to learn how to escape and evade tyranny.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and they, you know, and it's in Vegas, it's urban, you know, it has its place, but I'm like $3,000, you know, because I heard about it and I thought, this sounds fantastic, and then I heard the price, I'm like, if I did that, my family would starve. I can't do that. And half the time when we study what they do, and I'm not degrading all these other instructors out there by any means. I love the fact that there's so many opportunities for civilians to get good paramilitary training. But the stuff they're teaching, you don't really always need that kind of level of expense. You know, we can come here and do stuff. I had teams running all over this community last weekend, you know, we were doing a fire drill, and as if we were being surrounded by fire, and I sent out our teams to do stuff in the community, and I did it all for free because they were my church mates, but it took a lot to do and a lot to get done. And, you know, but what they did is they came to church on Sunday and they all tied to the church. So hopefully it comes out in the wash. But that's why we charge, because a worker is worthy of his wage. The Bible says that. It's very clear. And, you know, I'm not going to get rich off this. Steve's not going to get rich. In fact, Steve is expending far more money than he's putting, you know, than he would possibly be getting out of it on these trips and things. So, you know, I don't want to get any emails about grief on that. If you're serious about it, you're going to pay to. You can't go take a pistol class for less than $100. And you're going to get that plus other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, and part of that escape and survival and stuff is learning where the North Star is once you learn that, and then some real easy basic stuff. Now, in the cemetery right around the corner from you is one of the national treasures, John Burnham, and if you read the stuff that he did in the United States and Africa, in fact, what I would like is that we do pay him a visit in the cemetery and discuss him, but when he killed that guy that murdered his three-year-old daughter, when I was reading it, it was so simple. Him and his buddy cut a small bush, and they crawled on their bellies with a bush in front of them for several hundred yards, got into the cave, waited for the knucklehead to come in and blow them away, and then quickly escaped. But everybody today thinks they have a cell phone and an atomic compass, and you have to have a 007 equipment, and
the
you got
coolest
a face
looking
paint,
clothing, and yeah,
coolest looking clothing, yeah, and it's like, no, you just go out and do it. In fact, when I was in Vietnam, and then I became an officer, and I went through training after I'd been to Vietnam, and I was amazed watching these 200 and some odd brand new lieutenants, all of the gear and equipment that they would drag out to the field, and then they would look at me and they'd go, well, where's all your stuff? And I'd look at them and say, what stuff, knucklehead? Now you got to drag it through the brush. I'm going to be long gone while you're trying to figure out, you know, the hair on the hair and a rabbit. I'll be long gone before you figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You look at every guerrilla force in history from the, you know, the Minutemen. What did they have? What did the Minutemen had their work clothes on. 60
yep.
rounds of ammunition, a musket ball, a bag with some
yep.
crackers in it, hardtack, and maybe a cloak, and that was it.
That was it.
And
that was it.
And they showed up. And you look at the, you know, everybody hates it when I bring this up, but I admire our enemies just as much as I love our defenders of freedom. But the Viet Cong, you know, what did they have? You know, and they did amazing things.
Yep. Yeah, they just had an AK-47 with one magazine, no extra magazines. They had Ho Chi Minh rubber tire sandals, a pair of green shorts, and they didn't even have shirts.
Yeah.
That was it. And they tied us in the knots until we put together that unit that we did, which was based on guerrilla warfare from the Indian Wars. And
mm-hmm.
but yeah, and well, when we went out, we just did the same thing with no flak jacket, no helmet, no radio. We just had a M16 or a grenade launcher with what we had in it, and we would go out, and it was cat and mouse for, you know, if you made a mistake, you were dead. If they made a mistake, they were dead. But
mm-hmm.
Dutch and I are just trying to tell y'all, you know, like my daughter, she asked me when she was 12 years old, Daddy, wasn't it hard being in the war? And I looked at her, and I said, well, I guess. I don't know. I never thought of it. And she says, but you had to carry your bed everywhere you went. So she thought I was carrying this, you know, 400-pound,
metal-framed bunk bed, yeah.
Like, yeah. And I said, no, all I had was a poncho, and the poncho had several holes in it, and I just made do. And she couldn't figure it out until she was about 20 years old or so, and then she was like, oh, that's all you had? Yeah, that's all we had. And so, yeah, we'll do that. So that's August 12th, 13th, 14th. We'll get permission from the pastor. That should be a lot of fun. I'm thinking maybe also if the ladies want to come up, if they want to, I don't know if there'd be anything for them to do, although if maybe...
They could go to Reimers and visit the sites of Three Rivers.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
They could
organize
little
trips
to the big trees, go to the museum.
Yeah, maybe Kim and some of the other ladies with the martial arts, martial law alert, some of those other folks could come up so that there is some interaction between. Yeah, so just something to think about. We don't want to be completely, you know, misogynist, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, there's stuff for women to do up here. But I
yep.
like the focus of man camp for
man.
People who, because
yeah.
it's so neglected. They, you know, we talk about it all the time, and people, but the chickification of American male is at the root. It's one of the three attacks on America that I see that are more successful. The attack on changing history, the attack on Christ, and the attack on the American male. And of course,
yeah.
the American male, when you get under that, it's the family and all that other stuff that are the pillars of this great nation, once great nation. And you just look at the way men are depicted. And men are told, you can't defend yourself, you can't defend your family, you can't do
yeah.
this. And we're going to tell you, that's
yeah.
a lie. It's a lie from the pit
it's
of hell.
A lie.
And you
yeah.
do have a duty to protect your family. You have a duty to learn these skills. You have a duty to figure out what it is that even children, 14-year-olds, were able to do, males, at the time of this nation's founding. You know, you think of stuff. We had delegates to France, ambassadors to France, that were 16 years old that had already graduated Harvard. You know, there are people like that. And it's just amazing to me to look at, you know, 30-year-olds today, they can't even figure out how to use their own microwave or VCR.
Yeah.
And they're supposed to be
Dutch,
the modern
how old
man.
How old were you when you went to boot camp? Dutch,
I was 17 and I was 17 in 1 month.
Yeah, I was 17 with the boot camp, and you and I were killing and whacking people when we were 18 and leading
yeah.
people in Mortal Kombat, dangerous high-level combat with automatic weapons and all the other things that go with it. So, yeah, I'm sticking, you know, that's one of the things I do. When we do these outreaches, we had a boy with us in front of the mosque who was only 10 years old. We kept an eye on him, but while it was really intense, we were keeping an eye on him, but he was standing there pretty much by himself, and, you know, just like, hey, Junior, that's how you grow up, like yeah. Mr. Burnham, Wild Bill Cody, I'm sure Robert E. Lee and all the rest of those guys, Stonewall Jackson, when they were 12, 13 years old, they were going out to the wilderness by themselves. George Washington, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, when you think about it, the way that we used to train our young men to be men, to give them a work ethic so they would not go, oh, I'm not going to work today. I'm not going to take care of my family. I'm feeling sick. They would go in. Those are the real heroes to me. I don't get all excited about cops and firemen like everybody does. To me, it's the guy who's been doing the same job for 30 years and has missed a handful of days for darn good reasons. Those guys that go to work. And how did they get that way? Their dads took them to work, gave them a broom, and said, start here. You know, and watch what I do, and they get that work ethic. And we don't see it. We saw a breakdown of the American family starting in the 1960s because the socialist agenda just blew up, the communist agenda, let's be real, they're really communist, blew up in America, and the first thing they did is they destroyed the family model. And now kids, you send your kids somewhere else to get trained by academics that are liberals, and they flip burgers, they fill out, you know, pieces of paperwork, they push buttons, but they have no idea what it is to be a man. No idea.
No idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, no idea. That's I like watching Dutch working with Lou. I see manliness there. I enjoy it. Lou enjoys it. I know I look at Stacy's face sometimes, just like my wife when I was working with my son, and she's like, oh, don't kill my son. I'm not going to kill your son, but if you don't allow him to become a man, someone else will kill your son.
There you go.
So,
Or some woman's going to come along, grab him by the giblets, and control his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So when we go up there, August 12, 13, 14, we'll be talking about land navigation, escape and survival, pistol, rifle, shotgun shooting. We'll be talking about battle planning. We'll be talking about, you know, like Larry, what Larry Wick does with hand-to-hand combat and disarming, Dutch and I also do, with how to intellectually disarm Muslims and other people of that nature. So we will teach you within 5 minutes how you can disarm the best Muslim scholar in the world so simply you won't even believe it. You won't believe it until you try it. When you try it, you'll say, gee, that was all too easy. So a lot of that stuff you're going to get physical training, intellectual training, rifle, pistol, shotgun training, all of this stuff for only $100, and it's men only, you and your son, your stepson, whatever. Spend the night out there. Yeah, you're going to be shivering, cold, miserable. Dutch and I are going to be out there, too. I'm 60 years old. I will be out there. I'm going to the top of the hill leading the group up there. I ain't backing down. Dutch ain't backing down.
I've been up there.
So, yeah, we're going to be taking up empty bottles of water, putting in the water purifier tabs, which reminds me, cheaperthandirt.com. They've got all the survival stuff that you want, and the water tabs, water purification tabs, bring them up yourself. They're real inexpensive. What are they, like $7 for 24 or so?
Yeah, yeah.
And that way you won't have to worry about getting sick. You can drink the water right out of the stream, and it's called cheaperthandirt.com.
We use
also,
them all the time.
Yeah, cheaperthandirt.com. Don't know if they're Christian or communist, but I know they got good deals. And the water purification table tablets, if you need to buy a poncho or something like that, they've got it in there. You can get a poncho anywhere. That's all the when I take the guys up on top of the hill, they're only allowed a poncho. They're allowed to bring a flashlight, but they're not allowed to use it unless somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, there's a certain way.
That's about it. We'll take some guns up there in case the mountain lion or the wild boar show, but they will be unloaded as we go up and unloaded when we're sleeping, except for myself. And if the Army soldiers are with me, I will trust them enough to be locked and loaded.
Right. Yeah, because the goal is to take this step to get you ready, to get you familiar with the accoutrements of being a man, you know. We're going to take you back to about a date of like... Well, we'll hit a few things, but back when men were men, probably, I don't know, 1840s or so, and then it's been declining ever since. But we'll hit points yep. and times and ethics. You'll hear me pulling quotes out from, you know, Jim Bridger, things like that. And I had somebody once gave me a great book. What it was written in the 1880s. I got to find it. It's here in the library. I put it in the library. What Every Young Man Needs to Know to Be a Man. And
awesome.
You'd be amazed at some of the, you hear the names, you hear the histories, you think it's poo-poo, you think, it's just the TV, but the men that these stories are based on, when you get to the core of the stories, or some of them you don't know, like Burnham, they lived by a different code. They lived by a different a different moral compass. And
they would laugh at the men today. Oh. They would laugh at the generals and admirals today. They would laugh at them and say, you call yourself a warrior? You guys are pathetic.
You know, just the stark difference between Sherman and Stonewall. You know, Sherman's going around raping, pillaging, stealing, doing whatever he can to starve out the South. Stonewall made every one of his men pay for everything that they had an agreement to take. They never robbed anybody. There was no raping, no pillaging. Just the differences. And like I said, it goes back to about the 1840s when this country really started to fall apart. But this, it's just gone, and it needs to be taught again, or we're going to lose it. It's just like plowing a field with an ox and a steel plow. If we don't continue to learn these things and share them, they're going to be lost forever. I don't care if it's in a book. You have to do it hands-on. Reading all the books in the world, playing all the scenarios, doing tabletops is nothing compared to me saying, okay, grab your pack, let's go over the hill.
Grab your poncho and your canteen. We're going over the hill. Yeah. No, you're not eating tonight. Yes, you are going to be hungry tonight. You are not going to starve to death. I guarantee you will not starve to death.
Teaching people what their body and their mind are capable of is key. And psychologically stretching them to let them know that if things got really bad, that's the whole point of basic training. People don't understand when somebody successfully completes Marine Corps boot camp or U.S. Army training. I don't know about the Air Force or the Navy. I don't know much about those guys. But when you take a real boot camp that takes high school students and turns them into lean, mean killing machines, the number one thing they do when you talk to drill sergeants is to break their mental barriers first and to show them that their body can write checks that their brain can't understand. Your brain will tell you you can't do something. It's your worst enemy. And if you've ever, I ran a marathon one time, and you hit that what's called the wall, and your brain's like, just quit, just quit. Your body still has it in it to finish it. Once you learn how to do those things, and you don't do it overnight, you're not going to learn that on this weekend, but you're going to. It's the only way you're going to get a test. I don't know of any other way in America today where a man can go out and go, yeah, I stayed up for 3 days and ran tactical exercises. You're not going to be able to do that unless you actually join the military and go to Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think what we'll do is August 12th, 13th, 14th, once again, with the pastor's approval. Then the next time we'll do it probably will be like maybe November 15th when it's a little bit cooler. But then what I'm thinking, we'll take the advanced group and we will actually go, we'll do some land navigation at night and we'll see if we can make it all the way to the lake, what's the name of that lake, Kauia?
Kauia Lake through the back way, yeah.
And then camp there and then the next day we can be picked up by car or something of that nature for the advanced guys. I would think that boys over, what do you think, boys over 12 years old, we could talk more about that, but that one will only be $100 for father and son, and I would love to see like 100 sets of fathers and sons.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Well, some of the things that we've got some great assets here. Once I was just thinking of this, when we start getting more advanced, and I know the sheriff department would hate this, but we could go up and scout some of the marijuana fields and collect intel. I'm just throwing it out there.
Down the road.
Popped into my head. I could just see us up on these hilltops going, hey, look at the little hooch down there. Just, it was something.
Well, you and me and Lou and the soldiers could definitely do that, but we would have a little bit more than
Can you imagine how funny that would be? You know, we'd definitely be in the news. Local Christian group in a man camp encounters 5 illegal aliens after the gunfight.
Following
the shootout, there were no...
That brings up a good point. I heard it on the news yesterday that John McCain
admitted that it was drug cartels setting up all the fires in northern Arizona. They were signaling to get away from the DEA and whatnot. So a lot of people think that that stuff's a big joke, but you saw those giant fires in Arizona, and the ones that we have in California, I'm sure those are all started by illegal aliens and cartels,
too. I have firsthand experience watching this guy set a tire fire about 600 yards south of the fence in Campo when he knew the wind was going to blow it because he knew it would cause a huge distraction and they could get their human mules across. And we just radioed him and said, hey, we're watching a guy. He's south of the border. He's stacking up tires. He's dumping some kind of fuel on it, and he's lighting them. We're watching him right now, and they're like, there's nothing we can do. Well, could you call the Mexican bomberos? Yeah, but they won't show up. And sure enough, within a few hours, it took off, and it burned across the border. They had to bring in everything, and that's what they do. They use it for distractions and signaling.
Well, that's good civil warfare. Another one is going back to the Battle of Algiers, which is on the internet. We use it for our training. I bought that whole DVD set. I have it so I can bring it up with us. But that's all about civil warfare, Code 20, the whole thing all wrapped together. So as we go up there, August 12, 13, 14, I'm sure it's a done deal. I'm sure the pastor will say yes, and then we can talk more about, you know, advanced training from there on out. And it's not going to be the baloney nonsense, beat your chest silliness that I continue to run in. It's going to be low key and just more or less, hey, keep your composure, keep your head. You can outthink just about any problem. You can think, you can outthink, as Dutch said, you're going to hit the wall and you go, you know what? I still got 20 miles left in me. I got trouble in the desert about 4 years ago and I thought I was cooked, and I'll tell you, I have no idea how I survived it. I had to walk about 9 miles, and I was dying. I was, I can't believe I survived, but I just wouldn't give up, and that's all it was. I just would not give up. Dutch has been there, and I know a lot of the people listening have been there, too, but then to do it with a 12-year-old boy, we're going to do safe stuff. You know, you might get a splinter. You might fall down and bust a knuckle or, you know, something like that, but nobody's going to get hurt seriously. Nobody's going to get killed, and you're not going to get any sympathy either. You'll get zero sympathy. Zero.
Right. Yeah, well, and the thing of it is that you're not going to be that far from us.
No.
And we've been training, going in and taking people out. We do our search and rescue training here within the church, and we'll get you out. We've got a nurse. We've got a doctor. We got everything we need here when we do these drills. And that's why we want to do this stuff, too, because the more we do it, the better we'll be when this stuff seriously happens. I'm not sure. I have never really talked to Steve about it, but my belief is that we're heading for a huge economic collapse anyway. So,
yeah.
And I think the Muslims, the Chinese, whoever are the enemies are, would be stupid not to exploit it. So we're running out of time, folks, to get these skills built up in our communities.
Definitely running out of time. Yeah, it's... You know, I'm a student of the Nuremberg Trials, and it continually, through the Nuremberg Trial, the first book that was all about, it continues to say, if these people are not caught in the beginning stages, it's too late. In Islam, New World Order, the Chaikoms, all these guys are, and all of our politicians have sold us out. Military, politicians, college presidents, business, all these guys have sold us out. The only guy left us, and I think it goes back to Romans chapter 9, verse 17. It says something like, what if God raised up Pharaoh to make him great just so he could destroy him to show the glory of God?
Yeah.
And I think with us murdering, 35, 40 million unborn children since Roe v. Wade, I think God is pretty much saying, you guys really want to be proclaiming yourselves wise, then I'm going to show you the fools that you really are. I think God is stepping all over us. I think he's stepping on America, but he's also preparing the remnant. Pastor Warren Campbell and his wife, Dutch, Stacy Loom, my wife and myself, the guys I was working with in Ohio and Missouri. And I know a lot of you out there are in the remnant, too. Why don't you come on out and meet some of the players? This thing is growing rapidly, and why don't you be a part of it? It's awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
You know, the thing that's... I'm here. I was just ruminating on what you just said. It just... We are a remnant. We are a residue. And I really think that just like the Lord knows the exact number he needs for victory. he does thin out the masses. And, you know, Gideon, look at what happened with Gideon, and just our people throughout history in general. Christians get oppressed. Christians get slaughtered. Christians literally get eaten in some countries. But yet the Lord has a plan, and that plan has been consistent since the day one of creation. And we are here to occupy. We are here to put forth his word and to be a reflection of him, and that the glory go to Jesus Christ alone, that we have no king but King Jesus.
Amen.
But you can be all spiritual you want. You can go to church every Sunday, Wednesday night. You can read the Bible to your family. But there's got to be a balance. You've got to take the physical with the spiritual. You know, faith without works is what, guys? Dead. And works is training. Training and sacrifice. Yeah. Training is a form of worship, and worship must be sacrificial. And that's why we do this. Do you think I enjoyed spending Father's Day weekend training 23 people this weekend and having to make my kids either be part of the training or not pay attention to them? It was hard. It was a sacrifice. But I know in the long run, when my daughter remembers this, when Lou's already got it, but when my daughter remembers this 20 years from now when she's got her own kids, she's going to go, my father cared enough about future generations to train 23 people in survival on that weekend of Father's Day. You know, that was my gift to every father that was there. That was my gift to the children of those people or future. We had a lot of teenagers. I was blown away. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's count my daughter. She's going to be 11. We had 6 kids participating.
Wow.
Actively. We had some young ladies. We had some young men. We had people in their 80s. And it's a different kind of training. It's not martial training, but this is the management part of what we're going to do. We need managers in this, too. Steve's talked about it before. For every person in the field, I think you said you need 100 people behind them.
A lot.
Yeah,
with the high-tech stuff.
And so supporting the partisans and that kind of stuff. So I'm training constantly people, but it's sacrifice. And I like doing that kind of stuff, not because I want recognition, not because, you know, I want a pat on the back, but because it's the right thing to do, and I know it pleases the Lord. And I tell people, Murphy's Law, I'm going to be the first one to catch an errant round in the head, and I'll be dead, so you people better be listening. I'll tell them that. You know, everybody's going, well, who's... Because I always say, well, who's going to be in charge? They go, well, you or Pastor. I go, okay, Pastor and I just got blowed up. You know, we may not be dead, we may be crippled, I may be pooping in a plastic bag for the rest of my life. What are you going to do? So I just randomly said, you're in charge, because that's Murphy's Law. The guys that know everything are going to get first or not be here or... get sick. It's like in the movie Defiance. What happened about halfway through? That one brother, the leader, got violently ill. And then everything started to fall apart, and they turned on him. And he had to crawl out of his deathbed almost and kill the guy who was causing all the problems. It shouldn't be like that. If you pre-plan, you're not going to have that problem, because you'll have a cadre of leaders that will step up for you. It shouldn't be one strong-fisted tyrant running the whole thing. That's not the way God does it. Leaders of tens, twenties, hundreds, whatever. We're following a biblical pattern here, and a model, a biblical model. The militia model, the cell warfare model is in the Old Testament. It's all over the place.
That's the logo of the United States Army, is this we will defend. That's very interesting. It doesn't say this we will attack. It's this we will defend. United States Army, based on biblical stuff, self-defense, just warfare theory. Do unto others as you would have done unto yourselves. A remnant, people are going to get whacked, people are going to get sick. In training for the Army and the Marine Corps, when they're training officers and battle planning, there might be
what happened was something in the computer wanted to upgrade. I thought it was Ustream. I misunderstood, Lou. We're back. We got a couple minutes left here. 3 minutes. I let Steve go. You folks heard a lot of good stuff coming out. We apologize for all the property from Jesus Christ. They're asking $750,000. It was appraised at about $1 million, but we understand the market. It's a big 9-acre section. It has a stream running along the back of it. The wells here are fine. Big open space. The only utility it has is electricity. We use septic systems up here. I would love for some patriot person to come in and put it at campground right there. We do it, but because we are not a what's the word? What's the word I'm looking for? Yes, there are two wells on the property, someone is asking, Warland. There are two wells. There is one that's a cistern. Sorry, so there's one well that operates, the well that we live off of. There's actually a stream that goes through it, the people's stream, and if you pay the fees, you can use it for irrigation. We don't do it. So, but this property, it's clear. Two-thirds of it are clear. You could farm it. There's a corral. There's a nice garden that's been put in. Honestly, the chicken coop could probably be bulldozed or rebuilt if you had skills. But we're just hoping that somebody can get it because we need the money to fix up the church. The remaining, if we sold that, we'd have 12 or 13 acres with the training facility. I mean, it wouldn't kill us to sell it. It's an asset, and sometimes God gives you an asset, and to be a good steward, you say, look, we haven't been using it. It's got some ponds on it. You can go down there and gig some frogs if you want to because stuff that seeps out of the streams. So, again, if you're an investor, you're looking to get out of L.A., and you want to put a campground or something in, or you could put one single house on. If you were a survival guy, you know, you could get rid of it. And this is funny because I got brothers and sisters living in the other houses, but I'm realistic. You come in, move your group in, do whatever you got to do. So just contact us. Contact me at Dutch@DutchJones.info if you're interested in some survival land up here in Cahuilla, California. Be part of our solution. So we want to thank Steve for tuning in. I encourage you guys to take heed in what we said. Olima, sorry for all the dropouts. When she gets the time to edit that later on tonight or tomorrow, we'll put the archive back up and post it. But we keep struggling. We keep doing what we're doing. We need your prayers. We need your financial support. If we don't get the extra $60 or so to pay the internet in the next, today's the 21st, 2, 3, 4 days, because Saturday's the 25th, so we have to pay it on the 24th, we won't be here. Because the money that we make, I'm using it to pay for car repairs. I'm using it for everything. I can't keep doing it by myself. And Warland, you already paid in. Warland's saying, I wish I had the money. Warland and Minuteman donated this month. We had enough to cover the electric, but we did not cover the internet bill yet, so we're hurting there. So there have been 3 or 4 people that have donated. But go look at that chip-in on our website. It does not have anything on it. It didn't have anything on it last month. So help us out, folks. If you like what you're hearing here, and you believe in what we believe in, and you want it to continue, that's fine. It's God's will. Pray about it. Remember, the sword is heavy. The battle is hard. Victory belongs to the Lord. But the cool thing is he wants you to stand side by side with him and the Son. So we'll be back tomorrow with something. Tomorrow's Wednesday. We'll have something for you tomorrow. And pray for cooler weather for us. I don't know what the temperature is now, but we're dying. God bless you all and everything you do for the holy cause of liberty. Thank you for listening to Stronghold Radio.